Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Sam and Patty.
Hey, Sam and Patty. How are you guys?
Good morning. Oh, I guess good noon. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm great, thank you. What's on your mind this pretty day in Florida?
I'll pass it on to Patty.
Oh, my gosh. I just walked into Sam's office 10 minutes ago and said, maybe we should postpone our supernova call. I've got so many things going on right now. And Sam's like, no. No, maybe you should tell our coach that you're juggling balls and maybe he can help you. And I'm just feeling stressed.
So, tell me about it.
There you go. Yeah, well, I'll interject by just...
Under the bus, Sam.
Yeah, so like our assistant Thomas, he's away on paternity leave, so this is his third week that he's out. So that's one of the reasons, and it's a good reason, because we do have backup assistance, but he'll be back in about 10 days.
Okay.
Yeah, and we just opened an account with a client friend of mine, actually, and I've been working on this couple for years to get them to finally trust me, and they finally agreed, came in on Monday, we talked about it, they're going to move over $700,000 to start, and we've just made one mistake after another in opening up accounts and starting this relationship, and it's just, I'm so frustrated.
Yo, yeah, that's not good. What, is that because Thomas is out?
Yeah, our backup is busy, swamped, and so, you know, making a phone number error and didn't put middle initials in and beneficiaries are wrong, you know, just these things, and they're the ones bringing it to my attention, so.
Oh, God, even worse.
I'm very, very today.
Well, that's real. That's not worrying about things that aren't real. That one's a real one. So, yeah, you can't have that. So you got to get that fixed. What else?
I think our clients are pretty well calm about the market, you know. I don't think that we've really got anybody too wigged out. I think we've got people that are, you know, anxious to take advantage of the markets, and Sam's certainly been busy with that stuff. So I think we both have been, actually. Sam maybe a little more than me, but so the markets aren't really too terribly stressful, would you say, Sam?
Well, in a little bit, because, you know, it's a lot of work, you know, working on portfolios and doing that kind of stuff and reallocating. So it's just a extra, you know, workload on my brain.
Yeah. Yeah, with opportunity comes stress, and, you know, the good news is it's an opportunity. The bad news is it creates a lot of work.
Yeah.
So, So you've been transferring money in because you've been contacting people. Is that what's going on, or what's going on?
Well, it's more like we have discretion over some strategies that we've put in play, and clients have then trusted us to, you know, to just work the market for them. And so we went to cash back in December and January. So now we've just been deploying some of that cash in these discretionary accounts.
Sweet.
Yeah, so
good,
Friday.
Good for you.
We had a gold position on Friday, so that is looking like a really nice trade.
What was the percentage cash that you went to?
Well, I would say mostly I think it was mostly in December, but on average we were about 20% cash.
Yeah, one strategy was 17, one strategy was 25. You know, so we kind of had, you know, depended on strategy.
Well, you know, this may take a while to work its way through, but I think some of the prices that you saw on Friday are probably going to hold. So that's pretty smart.
You're listening to God's ears.
And also, I think we've been like I just had a call with a client, and, you know, he's thrilled because, you know, his drawdown wasn't that bad. He's like, I mean, he's like -1%, you know? I mean, he's thrilled. And I'm getting a lot of those type of calls that we really were protecting assets, so.
And that was a relatively new client, actually. So to have him see, you know, going through a difficult market, it's the first time he's ever done this with us.
Well, was it the, I mean, what gave you the clue, the full evaluation of the market, or did you, I mean, why were you in 20% cash?
Well, like, I'm always thinking, you know, like Friday, I wanted to be fully invested. I didn't go fully invested, but I wanted to be fully invested because I felt like we were kind of like, you know, just really, really great values. But I just felt like we were stretched on the other side, you know, just across the board. Evaluations were high. Technically, everything was high, you know. So we were just priced for perfection. And obviously, it's hard to have perfection.
Yeah, and then the VIX, you know, Sam. We watched charts and we watched the VIX and, you know, kind of things. And it was just, you know, watching that volatility and you see that spread of the market moving that far away from the 200-day moving average, you just got to really feel the overboughtness.
Yep. It's smart. You guys are smart. Now you want to use that now.
Yeah.
Okay. Leverage that and talk to people. I mean, I would call people that you know that have money that haven't transferred and talk to them.
Right.
And just say, you know, it's not going to change your life, but had you been with us, this is what we did. What did your advisor do?
Yeah, and it's interesting because Patty's friend that came in on Monday, you know, his daughter used to be an advisor, and now he's kind of like flying solo because she's a trainer with Fidelity. And but basically, I could tell he was not in a good frame because, you know, he was down probably about 15%. You know, and you know he's not an old guy, but you know he's retired. You know, and I could tell that he was a bit shaken by that.
Yeah, I agree.
There's never gonna be a better time, Sam.
Oh yeah.
You know, we in the business dream about opportunities like this.
Yeah.
Because exactly. You know, from December to beginning of February, there was nothing. Everybody was fine that was with Fidelity and Schwab and everybody else, right?
Right.
Everything's great. Cognitive dissonance. Didn't see any problem.
Right.
No black swans flying around here. And all of a sudden, they land and everybody's like in a panic. But this will never happen. Of course it'll happen. We're expecting it. This is what we're expecting. This is, how did you know? Well, because it's always going to happen. You don't know what it is, but something will happen when things get overpriced.
Yeah.
So, good job. You really need to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Okay? You've got to tell your story now. Tell your story. Don't be shy. Tell your story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they pay me for.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Well, good.
Okay.
One of our people that, you know, gives us business, you know, what do we call? One of our...
Centers of influence.
That was the word I was looking for. Sorry, centers of influence. I'm having dinner with he and his wife on Friday night. And that's exactly who I plan to reaffirm, you know, what it is we're dumb through this market and what it is we've, you know, how we handle it, and how our clients have felt, and see if I can ask him for more referrals.
You really should. Tell your story to your centers of influence. Tell your stories to your clients. Tell your stories to your prospect. Just keep telling your story. And guess what? We could go into a recession and you could be wrong, but temporarily you're right, okay? And so take advantage of it. While you're right, tell your story. It's hard to be right. It's few and far between.
The other thing that we're, I mean, this has taken years to do, but, you know, like we have a number of different models that we use.
Yep.
And, you know, that's what our job is like. As we bring people in, we're kind of dropping them into certain models or a combination of models. So it's taken a long time, you know, like now we're up to like 100 million and, you know, strictly managed money, you know. But I mean, I think we started 4 years ago, like with about 20 million, you know. So,
wow.
And that's the part, if we can get that even much more streamlined, it just becomes so much easier. You know, it creates margin, you know, for us, so we don't get stressed. We're basically just asset allocators into our own models, you know. And it's kind of a piece of cake, to be honest. But when you're not at that level, then you're like dealing with 100 different things, you know, management-wise, inside an account, and it just becomes way overbearing.
It sounds like you supernovaed your investment process.
Yeah, kind of. We've been doing that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Good way to look at it, yeah.
And we're not 100% there because, you know, we still have some old-timers that want to do it a different way. but we're getting there. You know, like all the new people, everybody, you know, we just tell them, here's our models, and this is what we're recommending, you know, and we blend it for them.
Well, this is your chance to supernova the rest of them. I mean, if they've got low-cost base stock, you know, you can't
that's
do it.
Problem.
But if it's in retirement accounts, you can do the whole thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, you can just turn on the switch.
And also, you know, even with low-cost basis securities, I mean, we should be still doing it, restricting them inside our models, you know, and then slowly be moving out of them or reallocating them because, obviously, people get way overweight in certain areas, you know, and it's just not healthy.
Right. It's great. Well, it's concentrated positions are terrific when they're going up.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
You know, you want to own all the Apple you can possibly own when it's going up. And then you don't want any part of it when it's going down.
Exactly.
So it's the human nature and you. One of the things that I talked about, and I don't know if I've shared this with you, but during times like this, it gives us a chance to reintroduce ourselves and what our role is in their life.
Yeah.
And when people have multiple managers, I like to stop me if I've told you this, but I like to say when you have multiple managers, who is the risk manager? And they'll say, what do you mean? Well, when you have multiple managers, multiple financial advisors, there's not one financial advisor that's managing your risk. They're all managing portfolio, but nobody's managing your overall risk profile. And they'll say, well, you know, and you say, well, you know who's managing your risk? And they pause and you say, you are. By not having one advisor as your risk manager, then you're assuming the role of the risk manager. And you may or may not be qualified to do that. I mean, because you're emotionally attached to it. So you're going to be greedy on the way up and you're going to be fearful on the way down.
Yeah, that's good.
You see? And here's the other words that are really important. When you have multiple managers, you have your investments scattered all over the street. And so their visualization is a Chicago street with papers blowing, stock certificates blowing all over the place.
Right.
Right? Scattered all over the street. And then who is your real risk manager? No one.
Yeah.
because you could have Apple concentrated in every portfolio and you think you're diversified. Well, you're not. Right? One manager has 20% cash and the other one is fully invested. You know, or all the rest are fully invested. That means you're not 20% cash. You are, you know, 3% cash.
Yeah.
So
I think also, you know, doing, you know, really making a priority that everybody has a financial plan. You know, I think that's a big deal because, you know, you really, you know what everybody has, you know, and you really can get your arms wrapped around it.
Well, one of the things to do is to think instead of 12, 4, 2, 4 reviews, think of it as 4 reviews of their financial plan. 2 of those reviews of the plan are in person. So you're not thinking performance reviews, you're thinking life reviews.
Yep.
Really important distinction in the supernova model. So we're kind of, when we started, it was, you know, we were lucky to get the guys to do 12, 4, 2 portfolio reviews. Now we're really pushing people to do financial plans and then reviews of the plans and updates of the plans to make sure that they're tracking their plan, not tracking the market, because the market's irrelevant. But anyway, just some thoughts in these volatile times. I think it's really important.
In trying to focus, you know, really on doing financial planning, Mr. Client, that's really our cornerstone and our differentiator. Our tool here at Raymond James is not all that sophisticated. It's really not very broad coverage of issues. Do you have any recommendations of where else to get a good financial planning tool? One of the things that brought it to our mind is that the Kingdom Advisors this past Thursday, our Bible study was about the way he was doing financial planning, and it just sounded like such a more flexible tool to use, and we're looking into how we can maybe use his tool. Still don't know what additional costs would be, but I thought while I had you, I'd ask you if you had any ideas.
No, because every firm, you know, that I deal with has their own proprietary plans, and the very rare person that's an independent wants to have that advice. So it's been a lot of years since somebody asked me that question. But I'll do some homework on it.
I remember the Financial Foundation at Merrill Lynch. And I can remember that questionnaire in my head and literally just kind of flip the pages and ask clients questions when I was just, you know, interviewing them, you know, first time meeting them type of things to know. And that was a long time ago. I certainly don't remember it anymore, but I thought that was a very complete plan.
It was. How does that compare? That compares favorably to the one that you're using now then, unfortunately.
Yes, in my opinion. I think the Ray J plan is very, very similar, if not identical, to Morgan Stanley. And it really is about theirs is a retirement planning. That's the whole center of it. Well, what if a client is trying to figure out other things in their life? What's their other goals instead of just retirement? It doesn't really focus on that. You have to play with the system and tweak it in order to get it to do education planning or, you know, anything else.
Yeah, that's surprising to me because our tool, the only one I ever really knew was a financial, you know, our financial foundation, and that was pretty comprehensive. It covered all the areas.
Yeah, it really did. I remember it came in the book. Remember that one year where we had to do 10 financial plans in order to be able to get a club?
Go to the club, yeah. Yeah.
Remember that? I had to do 10 of them. I remember I did one on me. I did one on my dad.
Sure, we did. They were books. Remember, they came in a hardcover book?
Yeah, blue books. You're right.
Right. So we were selling books. And we soon learned that we didn't. It wasn't the point. I guess probably to get us past, it's kind of like 12-4-2. I got to kind of, when I first started, I kind of had to twist people's arms to do 12-4-2. now I don't, you know, I don't do business with somebody that doesn't want to do this. But in the beginning, I had to kind of, I literally, this is, you'll get a kick out of this. I literally guaranteed their income when they gave away their clients.
How would you guarantee their income?
I told them as the manager that if they had a shortfall in their income, I would make it up.
Oh.
I was a different kind of manager. Well, think about it, right? I had discovered the Rosetta Stone as far as I was concerned. I had discovered Supernova. And I had put it in place, and I had people that doubled their business consistently, you know, across multiple offices. So I had people in my own office that hadn't done it and wouldn't do it. And I said, I just knew. I just knew I'd never have to pull that trigger. And so I gave it to them in writing that I would replace their income after they gave away the clients. If they did not, if they made less money. Well, that was like, who knows when that was. Let's say it was 1998 or something. I've never done Supernova with anyone who ended up doing less business. So it was an easy thing for me to do. But like in many things, I was a risk taker, right? You got to take some risk in life. And so to get compliance, I was willing to do a lot of things. Just like Lonnie, you know, said, sorry, I love you, but you're not going to the club unless you do 10. Because he knew that if they did 10, that they'd see that they actually did some business from him. But, you know, that's...
Always difficult to get old dogs to do new tricks, right?
Right, right. I never agreed with that as an idea, but I never condemned it either. I said, hey, this is going to be good for us. Let's do it. It's the right thing to do. You guys are going to, don't worry about it. Don't bitch. Just do it. And we'll be, but do it the right way. Do it with clients. And we ended up, you know, always doing financial planning from the very beginning. But I would say to reconstruct that in your mind and ask those questions. But you need the calculators to do it. So I'll look around and see what I can find.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. Anything to reduce your stress, Patty.
Well, you know, taking us back to that, because I've been sitting here scribbling while we've been talking, but what would you do with a client or relationship where you just started off and you've made one trip up after another just getting the accounts open with just stupid little things, how do you get back on the right path with that client? Do you do anything in particular?
I'd call them and give them an honest answer that your team, your key player in this is out on paternity leave and that you have been, unfortunately, at the mercy of people that you cannot control, and you've had some errors, and you deeply apologize for it. And it will not happen again once Thomas is back, and you're going to monitor the hell out of it to make sure it's not happening now. But unfortunately, these things have actually happened, and it isn't part of what we do.
Okay. So, you're right, and from now on, we just have to be diligent with this client and recognize how we're going forward. We have to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Right.
Control that. Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever, you know, everything that I've said today revolves around the truth. So when you're trying to figure out what to do, start with the truth. You know, it's the truth that no one is managing the risk for that person with three financial advisors except for the client. That's the truth, right? The truth is, you're down a key player on your team. And you expected that when you put somebody in there from another team, that that would be great. They would work just like you got a big surprise. They're not as well trained as your person, and there's been some errors. And unfortunately, you're going to have to monitor it incredibly close, but you're going to do it, okay? So that's the truth. Always the truth is usually the answer. We try and figure out some elaborate story to tell them when, in fact, just tell them the truth. You can't do anything about a paternity leave. You know, that's the law. So
and it might, you know, it might help if I give them a call, too, and just tell them I heard about, you know, a couple of the mistakes on the paperwork and just reassure them that that's not normal.
Yeah, it's not acceptable.
I would say no. No,
right.
No, Sam, no, don't. You're escalating it. You don't want to escalate it. You want to minimize it. So
yeah.
You call them about something important like the market or change the subject. Yeah, you don't want to.
You sound
you
like
to,
me now.
I know. That was so funny, Rob, that you actually have stepped into this conversation and you sound just like Sam when I come in and I say, oh, I want to send out an email to all of our clients talking about this market. And he's like, wow, that sounds like we're escalating. We're worried. We're not worried. And it's like, oh, you just did the same thing to us. Thank you.
Yeah. We want to, pick your spots and pick your role, you know.
Yeah.
Your role is a different role. You're not in charge of operations, Sam. You getting involved would be like me getting involved. It's not what you want.
Well, neither one of us are in charge of operations, but this is my friend. So I will step in and do that brief admission and say it's not acceptable on our team. We've taken every step to fix everything, and it won't happen again. Done. Move on.
Right. Well, it could happen again. That's the problem. So I wouldn't say it'll never happen again, but say I'm gonna monitor the heck out of this thing and try and catch anything if it happens. And we're going to be in constant communication, so you don't have to worry. And if you see something, call me. Call me directly, immediately.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay. So you can't promise, 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution, right, guys? That's what we tell you, and that's the best you can do. Yeah, you can't do perfect. Nobody can, but you can try. Anyway, so we've covered some ground. What else?
Well, just circling back with the financial plan, because I don't, Pat, that's kind of planning. Like Patty's department is all the planning, and I'm kind of the investment, And, but I just think we need to, with the size of Raymond James, they've got to have other things that they're using, So I think we need to just dig in a little bit deeper and see, just what the full capabilities are.
I think
that's a Patty call. Patty, you call. Make some calls and see.
Or maybe, what I was thinking was maybe there's got to be guys that are heavy financial guys, planners, and just find out what they're doing.
Well, here at Raymond James, I went to the manager about this a couple of months ago and was making these same comments. And she put me in touch with a gentleman in the Public Gardens office who's a big user of this tool. And he was saying he's just gotten very proficient at tweaking it and finding workarounds. And I've been leaning heavily on the desk whenever he's got a unique situation, and they teach him then how to work around. So really what they're doing is they're taking an inefficient system and making it work to the best of its ability for their situation. And my question is there something else out there that will impress clients because it is addressing their issue, but at the same time, helping us to continue to work off of a financial plan for years and years?
I would escalate more. I go up the chain. Patty, you guys got recruited, and you want to have a good experience, and this is a hole. So I'd escalate to the region and then national, or go wherever the heck you need to go.
Right.
But you gotta make it clear that this is, look, you've been with some top firms. These guys want to be the best, right? You don't want to have to do work around. What the hell?
Yeah. I agree. And we have a good, our director is the guy, the director of Florida is the guy that recruited us.
Right.
So we have,
call him.
Yeah.
I mean, what good is he now to you? None. Okay. Unless he can fix things.
Yeah.
So call him.
Yeah.
I might do that.
And because here's one of the issues, because even if we found a really good financial planning software, that's how long that would take to learn and to implement that into the system. I mean, because I found one online yesterday. It's like a year training program.
Holy smokes.
You know what I mean? Like it's, I just think we'd go backwards if we tried to master that.
So
yeah,
Rob, is there any way you can help me get a financial foundation tool? Because I know that one, or at least I used to.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That would be easy. I'm sure they've moved on from that tool.
Yeah.
And somebody created that outside of Merrill, and so I'll do some homework with some Merrill contacts and see where that came from, what it was, and all that.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. But I think your answer is fix the firm. You guys have some legs. And don't be shy. I mean, I did that job, right? I ran the district. So I loved it when somebody called me and said, we suck at this. Sorry with the expression, but basically we're no good at this, And I'd go, what? Because that would be the first time I'd hear about it. When somebody brought it to my – and there were people that I believed, right? You have – when I was an office manager, I had people I believed. They came to me. They had a problem. It was real. Okay.
Yeah.
Other people are just, they're just talking all the time. But other people are like, okay, Carl Evans brings me a problem. It's a real problem. He never brings me a problem unless it's real. So I would believe him immediately. That's who you want to be. We don't raise our voice. Okay. We're happy. We're doing great. This has been a good transition. But we're stuck here. This is not good. We're planners. And this tool is one-dimensional. We need estate planning, 529 planning. We need, kid plan. We need all these other tools. We talk about multi-generational planning. This has no multi-generational planning in it.
Right.
So that's no good. That's a retirement builder. You remember those? That's what you're describing, a simple retirement builder. That's completely inadequate to average. Even the average person, talk about a high net worth client. They must have a high net worth client planning tool.
They do. And we spoke to him too. In fact, he was on our team when we brought over the veterinarian. Remember, we told you the veterinarian from Alabama? And so he is part of that team. Adam Nybert's his name. And he is very good at the workarounds with the existing system to be able to give me estate planning types of fixes. So I do have a guy to go to, who knows how to do that stuff.
But that's not what you want. You want a cookie cutter thing that you can plug in and then come back and hand to the client.
That's right.
This is not a productivity decreaser. We want to increase productivity. That's what Supernova is.
Right.
Supernova, the planning process, along with, I think you got a real opportunity. So, what if you get a $50 million client and he wants a financial plan? What does the firm do?
How big?
$50 million.
Oh.
$50 million.
Well, definitely we would be assigned a planner and he would literally do all the work for us. So that's great.
That's your answer. I want your plan.
Mm-hmm.
So you call that person and say, I need your plan.
Well, I'm convinced that, because I've worked it. Adam and I from the high net worth planning desk and I were on the phone together and we worked with this veterinarians plan and created an estate planning number for them to be able to write some insurance. And so I watched him do it and learned along the way. But it was literally him just kind of moving things around to have it do what he wanted it to do. So I guess that can be part of the answer, is just learn, you know, the ins and outs of the existing plan and make it work for, I don't know.
Yeah, to me, they have to have a really nice, you know, like we had high net worth plans that were, you know, we charge them, you know, $10,000 for, and it was a big book and it was beautiful. And all you do is skinny that down and and use it. But if they don't have it, they don't have it. But it seems to me that they would have something that they'd work from that would be, because you forget stuff, right? When you're doing planning, you don't want to forget parts of the plan. You gotta have. That's why you have a plan, to remind you that, oh yeah, we gotta work on this, and we gotta remember this part. You know. Anyway, I'll do a little homework. You do some homework. Let's see if we can resolve this. And if they don't, they gotta. I mean, look, they're starting to deal with some pretty. You guys are very sophisticated producers. To me, they got to be starting to help you guys. I mean, they can't be pretending they got it all set. I mean.
Right.
All right, I'm on it.
Okay. All right. Anything you need from me other than that?
No, that was good, Rob.
Very good stuff, Rob, always. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. And congratulations. Celebrate what you've done and go get some business because of it. You deserve it.
Let's keep working at it, right?
That's it.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. Bye.